Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Scott Wright is back with us today. Scott's been teaching us about various things, different ages of the church and significant things the Bible has to say and what history has to say about them as well. Amen. Today, we're going to be answering the question, can we make God jealous? And to do that, help me welcome back to the program our good friend, Scott Wright. Scott, great to talk to you again, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here and looking forward to another fruitful conversation.
Amen. Well, let's jump right into this. Let's start with this question. What is jealousy? Now, the dictionary defines jealousy as, quote, a feeling of resentment, bitterness, or hostility towards someone who has something that you don't. That sounds like a sin, like coveting, wanting something you can't have. Since God can't sin, is God jealous?
Well, first of all, I think the thing that we have to understand is, first of all, defining jealousy, like you just said, is understanding that as we have as somebody or something has feelings towards something else that they can't have or they want to possess and they can't, then that stirs up these emotions and feelings. So getting to the question, is it sin for God to be jealous? The answer is no, because God made the rules for us. A lot of the rule, and this is what people don't understand, the rules that apply to us are because we are the subordinates. I think Amen. It's got to be an understanding that he's the king and we are not.
Amen.
You know, we have to obey him, and those rules don't apply to him. Amen. You know, and that's I think that's something you have to understand, is that the rules are different for God. The thing that he will always follow is his word. He mm-hmm. says, I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. So is God jealous? Yes. Can we make him jealous? Absolutely. When we don't make God number one in our life, we don't make him the center of our life. Yes, that makes him jealous. And we've got, and of course, you know, you and I were sharing some information back and forth. We were talking about Old Testament jealousy. The Israelites were world famous for making God jealous. I mean, the book of Judges is really a book of jealousy.
Yeah,
it really is, because every time they would get in God's good graces, they would do exactly what he told them not to do in Deuteronomy. They would fall off. They'd get basically fat and happy, feet kicked up, everything's going well. Hey, we can just do our own thing. We can kind of follow our own ways, our own rules. And we kind of let this slip and that slip. And the next thing you know, they're worshiping false gods.
Yep.
And then here comes God again to have to do what he has to do. He has to raise somebody up, and they start prophesying. They don't change. Boom, he hits them. They're afflicted for however many years. Then we get through this whole cycle. They finally repent, and then he starts to restore, and then the same cycle starts all over again.
Yeah.
And Amen. And that's a lot of what happened in the Old Testament. And then, of course, the kings came, and it was really the same thing. It didn't really stop, and the kings were, a lot of times, they were just worse.
Yeah.
In many Amen. Cases. I mean, they even David.
Their power.
Yeah, even David made God jealous when he did not go off to war, and instead he stayed back. And what did he do? His attention turned to Bathsheba, and we know how that all ended. So that was a disaster, to say the least. And, you know, so can we make God jealous? Absolutely. And is he have the right to be jealous? Yes, because he is the creator. He created us, not the other way around.
Amen. Yeah, I liken it, you know, to raising your son. And, you know, if you have a child and you tell them, don't do this, and they do it, It may make you angry that they failed to obey you, but when you instill the whipping, oh, don't be emailing Brother Bob about whipping little children and stuff. You know, Bible's very clear. Spare the rod, spoil the child, and look at society today. But you know, I can remember I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather had an infamous way of really honing in on making me think about what I did wrong. He'd tell me, "Go cut me a switch." And if you came back with this little twig, that just made the real whipping really worse. And you're out there evaluating what one you want to be whipped with. I mean, it was talk about psychological pressure.
Yes.
And I end up incorporating that into my military discipline when I had somebody do something wrong. You know, I'd tell them, pick your punishment. You know, and I mean, it could be, you know, being restricted for 3 days, you know, having to fill 100 sandbags by yourself and transporting them, you know, about half a mile from where the sand pit was to the area where I needed the sandbags up on the tack site, you know. And by when I say transporting them by themselves, he filled 100 sandbags. Can I get the duty truck for what? To get the sandbag. No. I said by yourself. You got to carry them 100 half a mile, you know. Oh man, yeah. But if they it'd be right on the counseling statement. Choose your punishment. This, or this. And the last this was Article 15 from the battery commander for what they did, right? And you know, so they're looking at this like, oh man, I don't want the Article 15. That stays on my record. 2 weeks restriction. That means I can't go out to the village and, you know, what the military would do. And it's like, oh, okay, I can fill 100 sandbags in one day, you know, if I really work at it. Okay, I'll do the sandbags. And they're on restriction till the sandbags are finished and they're transported up to the tack site, you know. And it ended up taking them like 3 or 4 days, but that's better than a week on restriction. And you know, and I'll tell you what, the one I'm thinking of right now, he was smoking marijuana up on the tack site. And I caught him. And back then, and
Oh.
still is illegal in the military, you know. But and I caught him and I said, oh, this is Article 15 offense. We'll take a strike, take pay, or you know, and those were his options, and he chose the sandbags. But I never had another issue with him. He was perfect after that, you know. Yeah,
Wow.
and but yeah, I said, pick your punishment, and you see him sitting there looking at the three options, and that reminded me of me standing out there looking at that branches, and like, man, which one of these am I gonna pick? Oh, I was great at mind games, you know, so just to make them contemplate what you did, and that's what God does, you know. Think about what you did, you know. And so yes, we can make God jealous. I agree. Amen. Now, Jesus also says, and I believe it's in John 17, it says, I pray, Father, they'll all be one, just as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the
Amen.
world may believe that you've sent me. Well, since Jesus and the Father are one, is Jesus jealous?
So Jesus is definitely can be made jealous when we choose to be one with something other than him. And I think it's important that to understand that Christ has been given the reign of king over the earth. I think, you know, we always used to say it's all about who God is and understanding who he is. And then it's also understanding who Jesus is. If, to understand this whole idea of jealousy and fear of the Lord and all that, it's really about us understanding who he is. And the problem becomes when we forget that, or we lose sight of that, or we don't know that, then we will turn our attention and make something else the Lord of our life. Jesus has to be the Lord of our life. He will not accept second place. It's funny. I was listening to something by Dr. Billy Graham the other day in one of his speeches. And he said, you cannot make God second place in your life. He will not accept that.
Amen. Amen.
He doesn't accept that. That's unacceptable. If Jesus is not on the throne of your life, of your heart, then what is? Because right. Something is always. Yep. Amen. So what is it that's not there? And yes, you are making Jesus jealous. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. Mm. And when we grieve the Spirit, that means we are making Jesus jealous. That is Amen. Exactly what we're doing by putting something else on the throne of our life in whatever decisions we're making, whatever we're giving our focus and our time and attention to. And I mean, let's just face it. There's a million gods to worship nowadays. There is so many distractions. We talk about them as distractions. We should almost talk about them as idols.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, yeah. we may not be worshiping Baal, all right, and those false gods of the ancient days that they were writing about here in the Old Testament. No, we have our own. So, yeah. And you know, it's technology. It's all the things that we can be distracted by. They can become our gods, and we're worshiping something false when we do that.
Yeah, technology today is truly a god.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And when we make it first place in our lives, while technology can be useful and helpful to us, and it's a great tool, it can also become first place, like you just said, and it becomes the god of our life. Yeah. And it's certainly one of the ruling factors in all of life right now. And you know, at some point, Jesus is probably going to do something about that. And we have to remember that there's a reason the end times come. And that is because I believe that people get so distracted from God that he has to remind us of who he is. And if you really stop and look at the why of it, you know, why is God doing all these things? He's trying to get these people's attention
exactly.
off of what they're focused on and remind them of who he is, and that's where their focus and their attention needs to be. And they refuse to do it. And then eventually at the very end, it's like, I've given you all these opportunities. You won't listen. All you do is resent. And now I'm literally going to have to give you a punishment that will never end.
Yeah.
And because you've chosen this.
Yep.
Because you made that choice. You know what? God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves.
Yeah, exactly. They go there by their own free will.
Exactly. God gives you the choice to make. And when you make him ultimately jealous by hardening your heart to his will, then, and your heart is so hard that the seeds of the gospel and his truth are just bouncing off. I mean, just go to the parable of the sower. That's exactly what that is in Matthew 13, is that it's talking about the four states of the heart. And that hardened path is a hard heart to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the unforgivable sin. Yep. That really is. That's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is when you harden your heart to his truth.
Yep.
Amen. So
hey,
you know, one thing I wanted to come back on that choosing. Yeah, don't you remember David had to make a choice in his punishment?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The 3 years, the 3 months, or the 3 days.
Yeah.
And he chose 3 days, which he thought would be easier, but it wasn't. Obviously, 70,000 people approximately died as the angel of death passed through the land. Yeah. And then they, you know, had to deal with that. But my guess is the 3 years of famine probably would have equaled the same number.
Yep.
And the 3 months of devastation would equal the same number. So he's like, yeah, let's just get it over with. Gosh.
Yeah. So. Yep. So three days was tragic, but at the same time,
it was quick.
He probably did not sleep those 3 days.
No. So imagine not sleeping for 3 years.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen.
I thought I would just throw that in as a nice side note that God has done that before
too.
Oh
yeah, that's right. And only this time it won't be just for a short period of time.
No. No.
That's right. So Galatians 3:28 says we are in Christ. And does that mean we can be jealous as well and not have it be sin.
You know, I do believe there's times of righteous anger, and jealousy can play a factor in that, such as if a spouse cheats on another spouse. That's, I believe there's at least for a temporary time, not permanent, but for a temporary time, that's not sinful. There are situations where I believe that jealousy, you know, as far as our connections to things that God has allowed in our lives, that when those things go away, that for a temporary time, there's kind of like this little space of time. Usually that space of time is when we're grieving. You know, I think there's a jealousy in that. Like if we lose our spouse, we lose a kid, something of that nature, you know, there's a jealousy involved in that. Absolutely. Because that's that strong connection that you're having to let go, that you want, that you can't have. I mean, that's jealousy involved. So, you know, a situation of death, divorce, those type of things, those are a natural jealousy that happens, that I don't believe those are sinful. But I will say this, I also believe that they need to be temporary, and eventually that needs to be let go to God. I mean, again, if we carry that permanently, then with bitterness and anger and resentment for too long, then are we leaving everything in an open hand to God, or are we clinging to something that we're not supposed to instead of the cross?
Yeah.
Amen. The real thing is, and you know, we hold everything with an open hand to God and we cling to the cross. That's it. You know, I hear people say this, and I say all kinds of things, you know, I follow this doctrine or that doctrine, and I hear this in Christianity. I don't follow denominations.
Right.
All right. You speak Protestantism, you speak Catholicism, I speak Christ crucified.
Amen.
That's what Paul would have told you. I speak Christ crucified.
Yeah.
That's what I teach.
Amen.
That's what I am. And you know, he said, my life is of no value except to testify the good news of God's grace. Luke writes that, obviously Paul speaking in the book of Acts 20:24.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
So in that same philosophy, he reiterates throughout all his writings. So yeah, again, everything held in an open hand, we cling to the cross. The only thing that we should always be looking to attain for that we can't totally quite have yet, we can have it in our hearts, and we can live in it here on earth, but not at the level that we will get in the next life. We can be a little jealous of the cross because we want it so much.
Yeah.
We can be a little jealous that we can't totally perfectly absorb God's word. That's okay. That develops a hunger, a stronger hunger for God. And that means God is on the throne. That jealousy is okay.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he wants us to do. He wants our affection, our time, our attention, and our total focus on him.
Amen. Yeah. If you get, let's call it righteous anger, as far as jealousy goes, that you have to work instead of going to Bible study class that day.
Yeah.
That's a good righteous anger.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to work because you have a contractual responsibility to fulfill, and God understands that, but it's still good to be mad that you can't be studying the Word of God, you know? And that shows that your heart really is in the right place.
Yeah.
But if you use work as an excuse not to go to, well, it's Sunday morning, I've been working hard all week and I got to go to early tomorrow, so I'm not going to church today.
Wrong answer.
Let's go back to the basics again here.
So one of the things I always teach on, and when we talk about our foundational process, Revelation 3, 18 through 21, part of that process is earnestness, developing an earnestness and eagerness for God. And that comes after God has rebuked us and corrected us and started to reshape us. You know you're being reshaped in the right way and by God through the power of the Holy Spirit when you're building a hunger for his word and for time with him.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
When you feel that hunger, that is exactly what God is doing. What he's done is he's shifted your focus. It's exactly what Paul talks about in Philippians 3. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a savior. Our citizenship is tied to them. Our focus is not on our belly. It is on the hunger for the God, word of God. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. Well, again, what he's saying is you are hungering for more of him. You are hungering for his word. You are hungering for prayer and spirit and time to be filled in the spirit and lifted up in the spirit to be with him. That is what you're hungering for. It's really, you know, and I tell people when they're reading the Bible, are you just reading it to check off the list? Are you doing it to pursue God?
Amen. Amen.
Are we pursuing God in the way that we read the word? Mm-hmm. So I think that's such an important aspect. I'll tell you right now, I'm actually writing and I've just started and writing on putting an entire kind of an expose on the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is so fascinating. I know everybody thinks it's just a book of the law, but it's really a fascinating story, the way it's written, in that kind of sort of my favorite part, but you sort of feel bad for him, is when Moses keeps asking to go into the promised land and God finally says, I've heard enough out of you. Yeah. No more. Yeah. I don't want to hear this anymore.
Stop,
I mean, Moses,
asking me that.
Yeah. Imagine Moses having to write that about himself.
Yeah.
And tell the people this.
Yeah. Moses also let them know why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And God said no because of you.
Exactly. Yes. He's like, thank you. I appreciate this. I mean, I want, you know, and Moses had a little jealousy there.
He did. Yeah,
he come did. Out.
And he showed it too.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't hide that.
Nope.
Amen. No, I mean, he didn't hide that at all. I mean, I sometimes think even some of the writings of David in the book of Psalms, when he's writing the Psalms, there's some jealousy in there built in.
Yeah.
You can feel that in the way it's written. He may not necessarily say it, but you can tell it in the way that he's writing it. And so I think, you know, so some jealousy is okay. It's like you said, it's where is it directed? And I believe that if our hearts are being welled up to really fill us with a hunger for the word and for time with him and to pray with him, then I believe that that is a good jealousy.
Yep. Amen.
We're not coveting the things of this world. Remember, the whole covetousness commandment is actually directed at certain things. It does not say we can't covet God. Hmm. It's saying we can't covet our neighbor's things and people.
Amen. So why is this relevant to what is referred to as the end times, which we live in today?
Well, I want you to think about this. How jealous are we making God with the way that we're living? Hmm. I think the whole culture is shaped in a way right now that just makes God jealous in general. Because everything is being directed away from him. Everything. I mean, the total philosophy of life, the way we're designing things, the way that we're approaching life, the philosophies of life. There's a million philosophies about that. And I call them the so-called truths. Everybody's got their own so-called truth. I mean, everybody is just pluralism. Everybody's abandoned the truth and just running in all these different directions. That is totally making God jealous. I mean, we are a culture of pluralism and technology in a very sophisticated way. We have learned to try to normalize that and to make that seem like it's okay and justify it, but it's not okay.
Yeah.
And God at some point is going to have to change this.
Amen. So what should we,
back to him.
What should we as Christians take from our discussion today?
Well, I think the most important thing is that what is our number one time, attention, and affection? What is it directed towards? And it really comes down to, when we were talking about this last week, a couple weeks ago in a group that I mentor, basically, what we were talking about was really having a heart, cleansing. And how does that happen? Well, I'll tell you what. If everybody will go to Psalm 139, I love Psalm
Oh, I love.
139.
Yeah, me too.
It's
Amen.
one of my favorite ones. And if you just read the whole thing, it is really about heart surgery. It is open heart surgery to the Lord. And the last two verses say it best. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me, leading me and lead me in the way everlasting." And that is verse 23 and 24. But the whole psalm lays out that way. And obviously, this is expressing an attitude of the heart that we need to have. So it's a constant, are we bringing our heart before the Lord and letting him examine it in a way that he can reflect it back to us? He's examining our heart already. That's always happening. But are you a lot being open enough to him to let him reflect it back to you to change you?
Yeah, amen. Amen. Scott, this has been so interesting as we discuss the current situation, in our hearts and our attitude towards God. If someone wants more information, would like to ask you a question, how do they get in touch with you?
You bet. GCC, God-centered concept at gmail.com. They can just email me at that address and I will certainly respond to them. And then obviously they can listen to my podcasts and we can talk about other subjects as they so choose. And you know, as one thing that we're doing, Bob, is we're starting to open up our ministry.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, last year at about this time on April 10th, we opened it up. We just started it, we launched it. Now we're wanting to take this message of about helping churches transform into believers who are going to go out and share God's word with other people and teach them how to do that. That's what everything's directed for. It's about sparking the church and creating an awakening that will eventually lead, hopefully, to a revival.
Amen. Amen. There comes a time, a sponge is great because it soaks everything up.
Yep.
But there comes a time when you actually got to squeeze what's in the sponge to get it out.
Amen. Yeah.
It's
You can
time to
be a
get up.
plethora of information, but at some point, we got to share that information. We are
Amen.
called to share. We are called to take God's word to the world. We are called to take the gospel message of the gospel across the globe from end to end, every tongue, tribe, and nation.
I'll put links to all this in the show notes below. Folks, drop down the show notes, reach out to Scott Wright, get in touch with him, subscribe to his podcast, and be sure to purchase his journal and start learning all about God-centered concepts that he specializes in. Amen. And do it right now before you forget about it later. Scott, I appreciate you coming back on again, sharing all this information with us, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Bob, it was great to be on the show. And hey, it's going to be fun the next time. We know it.
Oh, absolutely. Every time. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Scott Wright and myself, Pastor Bob, remind you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.